The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And you're very welcome back to the programme. Good morning if you're just tuning in. We've a busy couple of hours for you. We've got live music coming up in this hour with a great young band. And also, thanks, Neve. Grace, beg your pardon. And also, we have, what else do we have? We are going to be celebrating 50 years of Letterkenny Rugby Club. That's coming up shortly. Let's see. Hi, can someone explain how emergency vehicles can get from the Dry Arch to the Polestar roundabout when traffic is at its highest with nowhere for cars to pull in? That's a question that's concerned me if it was someone I love in the back of the ambulance. Is there anyone involved in the ambulance service listening? I know you do, that might give us an insight. Is there any concerns in that regard, or is there an action plan for access to the hospital via the Derry Road, particularly during peak times? Not one councillor from Letterkenny come on this morning to explain this traffic mess. Funny that. Well, we didn't invite anyone on, in fairness. If any councillors are listening and they have concerns, I think in fairness, it is a case of wait and see. They're brand new. First time they've dealt with morning traffic. The teams are out in the ground calibrating them, making adjustments where they need be. It's not going to be perfect from day one, so I don't suppose there's any advantage in any knee-jerk reactions. Perhaps if a councillor came on, they'd be accused of you know, trying to be populist when the council themselves has said it's going to take a week or two before they're refined. And I suppose really we have to reserve judgment there. But that being said, with thousands and thousands and thousands of cars going through the Polestar roundabout, it's not something we could ignore in the programme either, but trying to strike a balance. But at the same time, getting the views of people out there. I went through the traffic lights yesterday. I drive that way out in the morning and back in the evening. Yesterday, it took me an hour to get from the post office at the mountaintop to the Dry Arch. It's crazy, says that listener. 8.55 this morning, we hit traffic back up at Tara Court Junction heading towards the Polestar roundabout. Reminded me of a busy bank holiday weekend with traffic. Some cars made a U-turn, made alternative routes. However, traffic moved nicely. Maximum 12 minutes from Tara Court to get through traffic lights at the Polestar. Good experience. I don't think it would have been moving as smoothly without the traffic lights. Keep it moving. Another school bus driver here doing the same route at the same time 5 days a week to St. Bernadette's and Little Angels through Old Town on way in and through Polestar on way out. And I'm back in the house 5 minutes later than normal. Traffic was heavy where it's normally heavy. It just seems to me a great shame to spend all that money on lights for what looks like no gain. For you, of course, but you see, maybe there are others and we're hearing from them that had a similar experience. My experience was five or six minutes later than normal. Another only one way to see if the lights or people are the problem. Put a council worker at every light to make sure people aren't stopping at the box junction. If it's the fault of people, they'll never work. Took me 15 minutes from the Dry Arch to the Polestar. Seems to be delayed if you're coming into the station roundabout. Another, of course, the traffic is okay. Now it's 10 o'clock and that's something that we recognised through the course of that conversation. Rush hour is over, another listener pointed out. Yes, indeed. But also, okay, we were establishing what it was like when it was busy and then as it eases off, how things are moving. It's nearly 10 o'clock. People are at work and at school at this stage. Of course, yes, I get that. And as I say, we recognise that at that time. Just left Letterkenny via Remelton Road. No delays on the way out. If you're texting these in, A bit of the time might be useful. Right, okay. The dual carriageway down to one lane just as the traffic lights are switched on. Surely this was not the week to do this work. Who makes these decisions? You think traffic is bad today? Wait till tomorrow morning. Just at the creche over Leck. Now, these are texts that have come in over the course of the morning. When they say just at creche, this was when it was busier. Traffic backed the whole way going into Old Town. A disaster. It's never like this at this time of the morning. You may meet some traffic as you approach the Old Town Bridge at Duns, but never to this extent. It's a real disaster. I live in Lurgy Brack. Took me 45 minutes to go to the Dry Arch shop to get milk. 1.5 kilometres. Total disgust. Hi, Greg, business owners of multinational companies and residents in Letterkenny need to get together and pull all the councillors in their area across the coals. It's their lack of real work and selfishness has the town the way it is. People will go elsewhere for shopping. God bless the personal child in the back of an ambulance fighting for their lives trying to get through that mess. Now, in fairness to the councillors, they raise these issues regularly. They've called for boxes on certain roundabouts, plans of action here, there and everywhere. The councillors powers in this regard are limited. They can make representations, but they don't have to be accepted. If a councillor proposes a motion and it is seconded, it's still an executive decision whether or not that motion is passed on. Certainly, too, there is a situation whereby some of this is council controlled, some of it is TII. So, as I say, I'm not here to sort of advocate on behalf of councillors, but I do understand what they can and what they can't do. They can make representations. Are they responsible for the traffic gridlock around Letterkenny? No, really, because these are executive decisions, roads department decisions, TII decisions, and they're all really above county councillors' control. Yes, they have some input in some things, but at the end of the day, these are executive decisions, which may well work out as well. We are being fair as we can to say, let's see how things go over the next wee while. Okay, now hopefully we have Anthea Langdalen back with us. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Greg.
Oh, that's much better. As I say, it's so important. I wanted to make sure everyone could hear you. People will know that your son, Cian, went missing in September 2020. You are very active in social media, trying to trigger people's memories. And off the back of a post that you made, you received contact from someone with some further information. So if you could pick it up from there, Anthea.
Yes, that's right. Somebody contacted me on the site, Find Cian, and said that they remembered him jumping on a bus that day. Now, it was 2 days after he was reported missing. Now, I met this lady in Falkara a few days ago because I was over in Donegal and back in the UK now. And I'm convinced that she believed that she did see Cian at that time. Obviously, I'm keeping an open mind because it's 3 years ago, and it could well have been another occasion when he jumped on a bus from Dunfermline. You know, I'm not holding out too much hope, but after having met her, I do believe that she was convinced it was 2 days after he went missing.
Yeah, and there's enough there for you to give it some credence, as you say, but also
exactly
keeping in mind timelines and what have you. So is it possible that Cian just wanted to hop on a bus and get away? And
Quite possible. That's characteristic. He really... he had difficulty with authority, had difficulty fitting into society. He was on disability benefit one time. He didn't want to be on it. He wanted to try and find work, and then he couldn't keep up with being on the dole. He was missing appointments, and he just found it overwhelming. He was actually, at one point, he was offered a flat in Falkara.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed. I think he stayed actually under the stairs in the apartment block. Didn't sleep in the apartment and went back to the derelict house that he was living in. He did not want to be part of, you know, society. Really.
So it is plausible that he just wanted to go off grid.
Exactly. Yes, and he was familiar with Galway because he came with me one time, not so long before. And he liked Galway. But, you know, yes, I mean, it's quite possible. I'm keeping an open mind. I'm not getting too agitated about it.
No,
all,
and I think you can't allow yourself to, can you, in reality?
No.
And really, I mean, he's a fully grown adult. At this point, at this point, really, you would accept just contact to say, this is the way I'm living my life. Or, you know, and we can't rule out the fact that the searches were targeted searches for a particular reason. That can't be ruled out either.
Yeah.
But at this point, Anthea, particularly given Cian's nature, then if that's the way he wants to live his life, okay, but let mom know so that you can at least have some peace of mind.
Exactly. Yes, I don't want to interfere with his life. I've always been there to try and support him in the life that he wanted. But,
yeah.
Unfortunately, mental health got in the way, and you know, it is what it is. But yes, absolutely. I mean, this piece of news, if I choose to believe it, which I want to believe it, it means that he didn't walk up to the top of Hornhead and end his life
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
You know, that means that he did get on a bus and he he's living rough or he's found a community somewhere. As I mean, if you think about it, we've got an awful lot of homeless people living on the streets of the cities. And they survive, you know.
With relative anonymity as well, sadly, in many cases. With relative anonymity as well, sadly, in many cases.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, yes. And it's their right, I suppose. It's, you know, it's not up to us to decide.
Did Kian have a passport? I mean, presumably he also, if he didn't perish, as you outlined, he could be in Britain. Could he be beyond Britain?
I don't think so. I think his passport. I haven't actually got the passport. I think the guards did find a passport.
Okay.
So, yeah, because previously he had actually taken off and was ended up in Amsterdam. You know, he was found wandering around the airport with no money and no ticket. So that was a few years before, but. Yeah, so it's quite possibly went somewhere, but he won't have a passport to go abroad.
And would he have a means of contacting you, Anthea? You know, if I mean his mobile phone is not there any longer, would he be active on social media? So in other words, even if he took a notion today to say, right, I want to let my mum know I'm okay, but I want to be left alone, for an example, it would be very difficult for him to make that contact, I'd imagine, at this point.
Not really, because I'll be honest with you, Greg, I'm not really a great fan of Facebook.
Okay.
But I've kept the Facebook site open purely for Kian's benefit, because he always said that that's the way he wanted to communicate with me. He wasn't going to pick up the phone. He would always, you know, let me know via Facebook. So that's why I keep I keep my page open. And also, of course, I put the Find Key in. Social media is great for getting the word out. So I've kept that. So.
All right. Well, Anthea, I hope that there's some developments from this.
Thank you.
Peace of mind. But thank you.
Thank you very much.
If anyone has any further information, they can contact us and we'll pass it on, or contact you via that Find Kian.
Pass it on to the Milford, the guards
guard
in Milford.
Shikana, of course, in the first instance. Yeah. All right, thank you for going to a new phone. I appreciate it. Have a lovely day as best as you can
thank you
with
very
everything
much,
that's
Greg.
Going on, okay?
Take care of yourself. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Right, okay, that's Anthea there. Moving on now, and Letterkenny Rugby Club is its 50th year anniversary, established in 1973, and now it's 2023, unbelievably. We're joined by two guests in studio, Roy Robinson, who's the organiser of the 50th anniversary celebrations. Good morning to you, Roy. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, it's just Boyd.
Boyd, sorry. Okay, no, is B beside R on the keyboard? No. No explanation for that. All right, Boyd.
No problem.
Makes more sense, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I was just going to go with it. And the captain of the rugby club, Christopher...
Digimus. Real easy one for you.
Thanks,
today,
lads. Yeah. Christopher Digimus. Come here, reflections on Ireland out of the World Cup. Gutted.
Don't mention the war.
Well, we have to, don't we? I mean,
yeah,
it was such a good game. A team had to lose.
Worthy of a final, like.
Yeah.
I was over in Paris, Greg, and I have to say, you know, we were really had expectations were very high in Irish rugby at the weekend. And
we kind of got a wee bit English on it, though, didn't we?
I don't know.
If you know what I mean.
We had every right to be at the same time, you know. We had a fantastic team, but like after the game on Saturday in Paris, it was like a Irish wake.
I know. But the tournament really came to light in that game. It was absolutely unbelievable, but on the wrong end of it. Anyway, moving forward, because we are looking forward now, tell us a bit about the club, Christopher.
Well, I suppose
it's a rugby club.
It's a rugby club.
You're going to have to work harder than that.
Yeah. Rugby club.
We're trying to celebrate 50 years here. Is it a big club? How many members do you have? Where do your teams compete?
Well, like, I'll put it in this way. We're kind of doing up for the catering for Saturday. Like, we have 100 minis, about 150 odd youths, and there's three senior teams, and there's about 100 girls as well. Like, so it's just growing all the time. Like,
that's huge. And after you know, events like the World Cup, you're going to get more contact from people saying,
amazing.
I want to
be. Even the Facebook page, people messaging, I've never played rugby, but I'd like to try it out. And
And there's different ways of playing for younger people, contact, non-contact, all that kind of stuff, isn't it? You have to sort of develop and bring people through. When did you start playing?
When was I? When I was about 13, so only 20 years.
My anniversary too.
It could be my anniversary this weekend too.
But not quite 50 years. So, Boyd, how is marking the 50-year celebrations?
Yeah, so this weekend we're having just a day of rugby, really. We're it's going to be starting off with our minis are going to be playing a blitz. And then straight after that, we're going to have our three youth teams, our 18s, 16s and 14s, all playing against Korean in league matches. And then our girls teams are playing after that. So we have our 14s, 16s and 18s girls all playing matches. And then in the afternoon, we have our three senior teams, the first, seconds and thirds, all playing matches. Afterwards, we'll be having a few speeches and there'll be a bit of catering. And we also will have the Six Nations Trophy and the Triple Crown will both be there all day for people to
fantastic.
Get
fantastic. How did you pull that one off?
Just a phone call from a few contacts. And
brilliant.
We got it sorted,
excellent. So people have the opportunity to go along and get the picture taken with those trophies.
That's
as well.
Right, yeah. So it's like it's open to everybody. We'd like to see as many as possible down at the club. And if you want to get that opportunity to get the picture for the trophy, it'll be there.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, there's going to be a huge, with all the people that are members of the club and people that are playing with it, it's going to be a huge turnout. But it's an open invitation, especially with a bit of buzz about rugby at the moment, albeit we're somewhat disappointed, for an opportunity to go and see it live and see the trophies as well. I mean, so it's open to everyone, as you say.
Yeah, it's very, very much open. Letterkenny's always been an open club anyway. And that's part of the celebrations that we show everyone that everybody's welcome.
Christopher, you play at the Dave Gallagher Park. It's at the Glebe, the Thorn Road. How often do you do the seniors play? And you know, if people wanted to go and watch, for an example.
We've a good again. Any upcoming games is usually well advertised on our Facebook page. But we're training Tuesday, Thursday. At 7:30 to 9, and then matches are they're always on a Saturday. We're sort of about five games into our league, so there's 10 teams in our league, and so we're halfway through the first.
How's that going? What's your kill death ratio? Is the same gaming terms?
we came first twice and second three times.
That's not too bad. Yeah. It's early doors.
Yeah, but now I suppose this is our first time being. We're promoted into this league, so it was never. I didn't think we were going to win. Well,
you're establishing yourself at this level, really, isn't
get
it?
Our and then go for it, like.
Yeah. Okay. Is it a sport you'd recommend for younger people to get involved in? You
100%.
Started at 13,
even like from just developing their off skill, the referee respect in rugby is different. Than
it's
any
unbelievable
other sport,
to watch it, isn't it? It's so dignified.
You just see, I suppose I'm getting to the older cohort of the team, but you see young lads come in 18 and you think they're a bit of chip on their shoulder, but just a year or two they're just
It installs a discipline and a respect, doesn't it? It's just built into the game. And do you see it growing, because there are pockets of where it's massive and areas then where it just doesn't have the same traction? Do you see the forward momentum of rugby growing even more so?
100%. You think of the population even that we have in a geographical sense, it's an untapped market.
And Boyd, it's hugely supported, all right? And everyone watched and jumped on the bandwagon for the World Cup. But what we achieve as a nation, the size of our nation, in a, arguably a global sport, it's remarkable that we produce this quality of player from the population that we have, the pool. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and it hasn't happened by accident, Greg. The IRFU have gone out and they're picking players out. Even in our own club, there's now pathways for young people that weren't there before. They're bringing them into elite squads, so they're putting the arms out there, and they're picking players even out from our own club in Letterkenny, and they're bringing them into academies and stuff. And, there's just a massive, massive effort being put in at IRFU level and at Ulster Branch level to promote the game and give every child the proper opportunity to make their way through. Before years ago, you had to go to a public school to really have a chance.
Yeah.
And that's changed completely now.
Much more inclusive, isn't it?
Much more inclusive.
For sure. And it's great, as because we use that phrase again, if you can see it, you can be it, but now there's pathways, and if you have the ambition and the skill and the drive, you're going to be supported, aren't you? So the event started with mini rugby at 9 on Saturday, run through to 2:30. Then the club itself is celebrating, obviously, that evening.
Yeah, so that evening there'll be speeches and there'll be food, and then we've got the World Cup semi-final on as well, so we're expecting a big crowd for that.
Brilliant. And where's that? That's obviously for club members, presumably, at that point.
That's for everyone.
Is it still into the evening?
It's still into the evening.
You talked about catering, Christopher. I wouldn't like to be picking up the tab.
Well, we have two people, well, a family. I'm going to give them a plug here, Joe and Maria Gibson.
Yeah.
And they do the food every week in, week out.
Wow.
And they're absolutely exceptional. No, it doesn't phase. Like, I started adding up, you might need 500 hot dogs. Oh, no bother. We'll get 600 just in case, you said. Like,
that's what you want, isn't it? You take that headache out of it. Fair play to them. All right, so where's the more information on when stuff is on? We've mentioned it a couple of times now. But, Boyd, when I suppose you can go to Letterkenny Rugby Club Facebook page, can you?
The Letterkenny Rugby Club Facebook has all information.
And it's nice that it's tied into the semi as well, the semi-final as well.
It fits in
lovely, doesn't it?
I know,
but sure, look, we are where we are. Yeah. All right, well, congratulations. On to another 50 years. Do you see, Christopher, do you see a positive progression? In other words, 50 years in the bag, onwards and upwards.
Oh, I think even the last 10 years has been exceptional. Like,
yeah.
And the more Ireland do well as well, it'll all drip down.
Of course it does.
But even since COVID, where we've, I think we got that break for COVID and then there was a bit of a hunger after it. And before COVID, we were struggling maybe with one senior team, whereas now we're able to push. Well, this will be our first time pushing out three.
Fantastic, isn't it? It's amazing. Yeah. And that's obviously requires work, because there are other things that after that break didn't really come back at all.
Yeah.
So you've tapped into that desire and appetite. Anything you want to add, Boyd, before we wrap up?
No, just hope we see as many as possible down there, and just a shout out to anybody that's played the game. I played myself for 22 years, and I don't think there's a hall in Letterkenny would fill every player that I've played with. So just a shout out to all the guys that I've played with over the years and over the 50 years that have been involved.
Brilliant opportunity to catch up and share memories.
Yeah. Any sponsors too, we've people by advertising hoardings and stuff like that.
Any of them people. Exactly. Call in. Everyone's welcome. It's going to be a great day celebration. 50 years is a fabulous milestone. You're all invited to come and join a full day of celebrations, live music and entertainment throughout the day as well too. It's a full family day as well, and then celebrations continuing long into the night. So get along to the Dave Gallagher Park, the Glebe, Thorn Road. Early start from 9. AM, good if people get out and support the mini rugby teams as well, obviously.
Yeah.
So they have a bit of cheering on the sidelines. All right, listen, brilliant. Have a fantastic Saturday.
Thank you. We'll chat to you about 8 AM
Sunday morning.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much indeed, Christopher and Boyd. Now we have some live guests in studio with us, and we're going to hear some live music from them. They are the Notions. Mason, good morning to you. Mason Gillen, guitar and vocals. Thanks for calling in.
Morning.
It's good to have you on the show. Also, Finlay Thompson's with us on bass guitar. Hi.
How you getting on, Greg?
Good, good, good. Good to have you on. Mark Larry Connolly's on the drums, literally on the drums. He's sitting on the drums. Good morning, Mark. How are you getting on?
I'm getting good. Yourself?
Good to have you with us. All right. Now, the Notions, not unfamiliar to Highland Radio listeners. We don't have Bobby with us. He's doing something else. So we're going.
Air traffic control.
Traffic control, is that it? All right. So we're a four piece down to a three piece. And we're talking about a night of music in the Cottage Bar this coming Saturday night at 8 pm. It's a cracking venue. I'll start with you, Mark. Talk to us about what you're doing Saturday night.
Well, we are playing a gig. We have Kierzo starting for us, and then along comes E Fades, and then towards the end of the night, we come on and we steal the show.
Yeah, so either he fades and the other band will have something to say about that.
Oh, well, they'll have to show
it. I have to be careful, you see, because I bump into mums and dads.
Oh, yeah, you know
what I mean? So I have to play it level.
they're a great band, to be fair.
No, they're all good. And this is something new, is it, Finlay, that, you know, a night of music, three local bands.
Well, basically, I suppose since after, we're a young band ourselves, but, you know, we had COVID for 2 years and that, and we weren't playing and there was no live music anywhere, and we're just kind of trying to highlight the importance of live music and that, especially for us. Like, we started in the cottage at the open mic night, and that's a mouthpiece, so we're always very grateful for that. And so I suppose we're just highlighting the importance of these kind of these events for young musicians getting a start and get going. And I suppose what no better way than a collab between the E-Fades and that, one of the best local young bands, Letterkenny, and then ourselves and Kierzo as well, like, you know.
And at Mason, there's nothing beats performing live either, is it? I mean, you can do all the practice, the rehearse and the write and the recording, whatever way you want to do, but you can't be being out there in front of a live, appreciative audience.
Nah, it's class. You get a good rush from playing live, like.
Yeah.
And now we've written a few originals and some people have started to learn the lyrics and we get to hear it being shouted back to us, and there's no better feeling, like.
And things are going well for you, aren't they? I mean, you've supported The Lost. You've performed to at Party in the Park. I mean, you know, things are moving in the right direction.
Yeah, we're flat out, you know, and we're going forward.
Mary from Dunlow as well, he's right at that too.
Yeah, that was a highlight of the summer.
Yeah,
that
was one of our better gigs. Yeah.
I would say one of the best ones of the summer. And, like, you know, as I say, we've kind of started out in that and we're just hopefully on the up anyway.
But you see, the thing is though, Mark, when you get a taste of it, you know, you want more, don't you?
Oh, yeah, no, we
started. It drives you on, doesn't it?
We started off with the open mic night, as Finlay said, and then every now and then we go back to it because, like, it is our home, which is why we're so happy to be playing in college on Saturday. And then we've done gigs throughout the summer, Mary from Dunlow. And then we've done a few of our own, like, gigs, which we've labelled sheds. But, like, that was just kind of more our own thing. But the gigs that we do, you get the hype from it and you get, like, an adrenaline rush.
Yeah, and I mentioned it on the show before when speaking to some other young bands about getting the opportunity. You know, there's lots of stage time at big events. And I use headlined it. But I'm on about, there's lots of stage time at big events where there's just music coming out of speakers. Yeah. You know, that young bands would love the opportunity to get up on stage and perform and build from that. And fair play to the crew from Mary from Dunlow. They have spotlighted loads of great talents and give you guys the spotlight that you deserve as well. And hopefully we see more of that bands like yous and others and up-and-comers are backed. Right, so Mason, you talk about doing a bit of writing now. As well, getting a catalogue together. I suppose that's what's expected when you're doing a gig. You know, you need, you know, I mean, there's going to be covers in there, your own version of stuff, but you need your own stuff there too.
Yeah, I actually think that our originals are sound better than the covers because we can kind of do our own thing with them. We own them, exactly. So I would kind of start off writing up the house, show the band, put it together, and sometimes it only take like 5 minutes and we just work straight away.
Brilliant. That's it. Well, that's a good sign of how you collaborate with each other.
Yeah, you know what I mean? We get along great, to be fair.
All right, well, let's hear something. We're going to hear two because I left enough time to make sure we do and to get you all back to wherever you need to go afterwards. And we'll talk more about the band and the event that's upcoming. So, Mason, do you want to introduce the first track?
Yeah, this one's called Undeniable. It's a bit of a fast-paced one.
That's right. This is one of your own, is it?
One of our own, yeah.
Okay, and when did you start performing this or when was this finished?
I think we first performed this one at Party in the Park back in July.
Excellent, okay. Yeah. All right, whenever you're ready, The Notions.
By your name,
All right, that was the Notions. Finlay, it's hard to phrase this without. I mean, you get great support from local venues and what have you, right? But do you think there's a scene that needs to be established? If you get where I'm coming from,
no, I definitely. I mean, like, there is the music scene, Letterkenny, but an expansion of that, like, you can't underestimate open mic nights between the Cottage and that, and the Cottage are great for supporting things like Mouthpiece and letting local musicians have an opportunity to play in that. You know, on the other end of that, down my kind of country, down Dunlow, you have Club BO and that, run by Amoya Brennan, which is another great open mic night. And even 5 minutes, one or two songs, takes young musicians, gives them the confidence, and they need that, because you can't just start off with big two-hour sets. It's too much. So there's an importance for a bit of a scene to be established, especially after COVID. That was knocked down a huge amount, you know, I suppose, and pubs were, you know, hard for them to reopen and that, and, you know, if things are slow starting. But I'm hopeful that, you know, things are rolled up, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And pubs sometimes now have to decide whether they pay for a band or TNT and Sky Sports. It's a tough old business for them to be trading in. And Mark, we need a constant stream of young talent as well, don't we? You know, arguably this generation, you need, and there's ones ahead of you and you need ones coming behind you as well. And I suppose nights like this encourage that.
Yeah, it's a great chance for young artists. Like, I know for myself, whenever I was in first year, we started off, I watched Sheerbuzz. Yeah. Mm. Like, they were my inspiration for the band anyway, and we had more and more artists, and then there's ones coming behind us, Air Bears. There's a bunch of young talent out there that can come through
and this, hopefully. And the thing is too, the way it is, it's great in a way, because, say, from a media perspective, you know, if the guys on Monday Night Sessions will get behind you, if you get yourself together and you're good enough, and there are venues that will give you a chance at the open nights as well. So, like, it can be done. You know, definitely. There's people get together and they put their mind to it. There are ways of getting your stuff out there, and of course, then you can use the likes of Instagram. It's the Notions.
But even Mark said about
it. Anytime you have to explain it, you've given it the wrong name. Not many messages. And on Facebook, it's the Notions as well.
Yeah.
So it's the Notions on Instagram and the Notions on Facebook. Okay. And then you can reach a broader audience through that. Mason, do you want to introduce the song we're going to play out with?
Yes, one's called Fallen Angel. It's one of our more popular one among our people that come to our gigs. They seem to love the chorus.
This is the one that when they're on the way for a wee, they turn back and come back.
Exactly. They're always waiting for
everybody to chant for this one.
Yep.
All right, okay. The Notions. Take it away again, guys.
Trying to find a way to go through. I'm trying to get on a plane and fly to you. My head's all over the place. What am I gonna do? Feel like I'm lost in space. I've fallen hell. I'm up in the sky,
I don't know why my head's all over the place. What am I gonna do? Feel like you lost the space.
Well done, lads. That's brilliant. I can see why that's a popular one. It's excellent. Right, who's going to remind us of the gig on Saturday night then?
Well, I suppose we'll just say it.
We'll say it's basically 8 p.m. Saturday on the cottage.
Good man, Finley.
Free entry.
You took one for the team there. I'm really disappointed.
Free entry, lads. Hey, it's going to cost you nothing.
Did you just
to
say three? Free entry, lads. Hey,
that's hilarious.
It's a catchphrase. That's a catchphrase.
English teacher wouldn't be happy with that. We're currently missing school. Actually, we're all leaving here as well.
So. I know.
Ivorlin is out. Finley, say thank you to your school for letting you out.
Rosie's your one, Mark.
Yeah, she is.
I'm chatting to Rosie last night. Getting you out of school. We have to get you back on time as well.
Yeah.
Are you in school still, Mason? What's the story?
Yeah, Paul Shally, same school as Mark.
Right, okay, brilliant. You're all in sixth then?
Sixth year.
Right, how's it going?
It's going, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, it's not long now.
It's not going good,
year.
But it's going.
I get you. All right, listen. Anyway. It's been brilliant having you on. Have a fantastic night Saturday night. There's three cracking bands. It's live, it's free hype, and it's 8 p.m. This Saturday at the Cottage Bar, Letterkenny Main Street, and that's just a sample, and these guys come in and did that acoustically as well, so you can imagine what you're going to get on the night. Plenty of noise from the Notions. Continued success. Hope yourself a brilliant winter, and particularly heading into the summer. We'd have to focus exams and all that kind of stuff, but anyway, that's a young person's problem. Enjoy it, because you don't have those problems when you get older. All right, that's just a little bit of life advice for you. Look, he's keen, isn't he? He's got the coat on. He's put the coat on. We haven't even said goodbye. All right, lads. Bobby wasn't with us, but he'll be there Saturday night, I presume. So Mason, Finley, Mark Larry, Connolly, thanks all of you. Thank you very much.